You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
I didn't cue you. I was going to do it this time. I actually remember the name of the show. I wasn't going to do it this time, but let's try it again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts. God.
Okay, let's try this one more time. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to I forgot the name of the
too
show.
Too late now.
Kyle?
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts, and we are here live from the illustrious Podcast Detroit studio, and we got Kyle, and Devin here, man. We don't have a guest this week. We're just going to sit here and talk evolution. We're going to talk a little bit about Crown Jewel. We're going to talk about UFC 230 and whatever else comes up, man. So before we get into all those.
BCWA from last weekend.
Oh, yeah, going to talk about BCWA as well. Before we jump into all those topics, let's go ahead and go around the table. Mr. Campbell, go ahead and throw your social media out there. And any opening remarks that you have, sir?
Opening remarks? Titties. What's up, everybody? This is Kyle. The Rise Knows Chaos. Stop kicking my damn feet, kid.
Wasn't on per. Who are you calling kid, asshole?
You're the youngest one in here, Junior. Anyway, also
and
known
I'll still
classic.
Fuck you up.
Also known as
children,
classic.
Children.
You can find me on Facebook, Kyle J Campbell, and you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. And you can also find my new show, DC TV Multiverse Podcast, on everyonewhocares.com or iTunes/podcast or Google Play or SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcast from.
Oh, I finally started Arrow Season 7.
What do you think so far?
That prison shower scene was amazing.
What the fuck?
It it was some good editing. It was some good editing because I was like, I don't want to see anything, Amel. Please. No, oh, God, no. Okay, I didn't see it.
We didn't even see a butt, though.
Well, it is a CW. I mean, I wasn't looking for the ass, but still.
Mr. Collison.
I really don't know how to respond to any of that. But, you can. This is the White Kyle. Kyle, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. And, make sure you're following our show page, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook. And also, before we get started today, I got a shout out. Give me one second. I just want to make sure I say it right, okay?
Shout out.
Phi Delta Epsilon, they're the people who brought me out to come speak at the Children's Miracle Network, and they were plugging the show for us. So shout out to them. Thanks for having me. And you can also be on the lookout this Thursday. I will be on Blog Talk Radio for Wrestle Talk in the D. And, so a lot of big shit.
Yes, sir. And I am Devin. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Speaking of All Steak No Sizzle, very, very soon, probably Wednesday or Thursday, I will be posting my last update on my Sober October. So this will be my last show not drinking, folks. So
when are we bringing
after
back
this,
drunk
alcohol,
Randy?
We definitely got to do drunk Randy.
Yeah, drunk Randy's better than sober Randy. But yeah, after this, so after this, alcohol poisoning? Close to it?
Possibly.
Yeah, you got to make up for lost time.
Exactly.
Saturday's going to be
a rager, as they say.
Man. Friend's birthday party.
Woo!
All you can drink.
I've seen him
open
drink.
Bar.
I've seen him. Wow. He can put some shit away. He puts away drinks half my size. and I am a small man.
I'm going to leave that one alone. All right, make sure you check out the Reality Era news page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. Hey, if you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you go in there and say, hey, Mr. Campbell, name a random car.
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
A creep?
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Hey, I want that Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I ain't going to take no shit from somebody eating them damn Fritos.
Jeep Grand Cranberry?
You can take that shit all day, bro.
Hey. I'm trying to tell the people about this Jeep Grand Cherokee that they found on the website. If you go into Southfield Quality Cars and say, hey, I want that Jeep, use the reference code 19309 and you'll receive $500 off on your purchase.
Bruh, man.
I forgot.
Flow.
Once again, that reference code is 19309. You'll receive $500 off on your purchase.
500 of them things.
Yes. Anything else we need to announce?
Yeah. Happy birthday to past guest of the show, Miles the Fury Jury, today.
Yes, sir. Miles Jury, what's up, man? Does he have a fight anytime soon?
He was looking at October, November, so it's going to be any time now. I don't know much about it, but I know he was talking October, November, so it should be any time.
Okay. You know how UFC is booking fights late and shit. Never mind.
Why don't we talk about BCWA first?
We should talk about BCWA first.
What had happened
was Bill Martell was trying to get in on our live action, except our mics weren't on. It was in the middle of a match. He came in the middle of his match and then smacked
over. He came in the middle of his match. Jesus Christ. I got to start watching these things.
Jesus Christ.
You need to start showing up, fool.
I would, but I'm actually out making money.
So. I was working before I went, so what's your excuse now?
Children.
I work different hours than, you know, I have a man job. You have a hooker job. So,
wow.
You
know.
Still makes more money than you. Uh-oh.
Good night, everyone.
I don't know. What do you think about the show, man? I thought the first round of Tag You're It was pretty good. I think we saw.
Tag.
You're He's got to get the good tag in. dude, I thought we saw some pretty good teams, although Tony Thunder's tag team partner totally bailed on him. But
So he just had God as his tag team?
Nope, his manager ended up being his tag partner.
Oh.
Yeah, it...
It wasn't...
You haven't been to one yet, have you?
Not yet.
Man, we got...
I'm working.
Shout out to...
I don't get off until 2.
Mike Blackwell.
I was like, shout out to Charlie Brown for... attempting to be Tony Thunders.
Can we please get him a new shirt?
Dude, we got to get that guy a shirt that fits.
Because those buttons are going to bust off, and when they do, they're going to be like torpedoes. And if they hit somebody in the eye, it's over.
And we got to get him a belt too, man. All I would say is or just crack
give it
kills.
Up. Just give it up and go for suspenders.
Good.
Fat guy logic. Just say fuck it.
Oh, and yeah, another man lost his nipple too.
All right,
shout out to Big Daddy Gaddy. You'll hear him on the show very soon.
How do you lose?
If you'd have heard how loud he chopped this guy, dude. Like, he did the same thing to Tony in the last show.
Oh, we'll post a video of Robbie Keto. Rest in peace to your nipple, man. We'll post a video of Robbie Keto getting chopped in the chest by Big Daddy Gaddy.
Also,
I swear to God, I have never heard a chest.
It sounded like a fucking gunshot.
It sounded like a gunshot went off.
God damn.
Like
one made me cringe to watch it.
I literally jumped out of my seat for the rest of the match. I was sitting there rubbing my chest, and he didn't even touch me.
Y'all making me rub my testicles.
Your testicles?
My testicles, my titties.
I thought he said testicles. I was like, whoa, this is a different show.
I mean, I'm a man, so I don't have titties, so you know, not that fat.
And also, before I forget, shout out to fellow Podcast Detroit host Orlando Christopher from Breaking Down the Ring. He had a badass debut at BCWA. He even kicked some little girl in the head, but it was all good.
Wait, I feel bad for that little girl because she got kicked in the head, and then she had to look at Charlie Brown's butt crack, man. It was just all...
Did they give her a free shirt?
He took her. He brought her in the ring.
Nice.
Yeah, her.
He did a helo over the top rope.
Tope con helo.
And when he came down, like even the camera guy was telling this girl, like, "Hey, move! Hey, move!" And she didn't move. And he came over, and his leg just came.
She was okay.
She was okay, but I was just like, "Oh, that could have been bad."
I kick kids.
But, yeah, we had a great time at BCWA, man. Definitely looking forward to the November 17th show. Allison Kay or Sienna, wherever you
are. Detroit's own.
Yeah, Detroit's
Pinkies
own.
Pinkies up. The Bam. Queen of Savagery. We will be interviewing her when she comes into town for that. So be on the lookout for that. And if you're not doing nothing, make sure you're at the show because there's going to definitely be some tomfoolery in that bitch.
Yes, sir. And once again, shout out to Mike Blackwell for having us on the show, man. Really appreciate the opportunity, man. It's big for the show, man. We you know get to meet all these different great wrestlers and got some great talent coming in. Like we got to talk to Colt Cabana, we got Allison Kay coming up, and who knows what else he has in store.
Solo Darling is coming.
Who's that?
Solo Darling is coming.
When do you make that announcement?
It's already been posted, fool.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, she's already been booked.
Well, there you go. Bam.
See, so
the more you know.
Yeah, I mean, these shows are definitely going to be something you want to watch. I mean, he said the first five are going to be like the coming out party, but when I mean, with the names that he's already mentioned bringing in and the first two shows we've broadcasted live from, in my opinion, it's definitely something you don't want to miss. And also, for all of you fans of Clash Wrestling, I can't confirm nor deny that you may see a Knockouts and Three Counts sighting there real soon.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. What had happened might be.
So, yeah, definitely come on out to Wyandotte at the Copeland Center. November 17th is the next show, and we'll keep you guys posted on whenever the other shows are going on. Part two of Tag.
You're it.
It's going to be on the 17th. They're going to crown their new tag team champion. So
I don't know that they're going to. Are they going to crown him that night? Because it's only a second round. Are they doing three rounds?
Yeah, they're crowning him that night.
Okay.
Yep. So, bam. Shout out to Arrow for him. What else you guys want to talk about? You want to go MMA or you want to go?
Let's go MMA and then we'll go into wrestling because there's a lot of wrestling shit.
There's a lot of wrestling. All right. Well, really the big MMA news is this weekend, UFC 230 takes place.
You skipped something, but it's okay.
Well, then how about you do it?
How about we talk about the big news that's been going on all week about the trade with Mighty Mouse and Ben Askren?
Do we have to talk about this?
You know, if our job is to cover MMA news, and that's the biggest news in MMA.
Go ahead, man. You cover it, man.
So for those of you that haven't been paying attention, there was a big trade, and the first ever trade I ever can remember, really, between two of the big promotions, in which Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson will be changing promotions and will be going to 1FC in Asia, and Ben Askren will be making his debut in the UFC coming up here real soon. There's no fight dates released for any of them yet, but it's been confirmed they've both switched promotions. Devin, I know you don't like this, so we'll get your thoughts first.
Let Mr. Campbell go first if he has thoughts.
I have no thoughts.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how I really want to go about this.
Don't like it.
Yes. Call somebody zombie.
Can't steal my. You fuckers keep wanting to steal all my shit.
This really, really bothers me. And the reason why is because Mighty Mouse has arguably been
a sumbitch.
you can make the argument that Mighty Mouse is one of the top five fighters in the history of that company. He's broken the title defense record. He's really been the only flyweight champion up until his last fight with Henry Cejudo. But the way he's treated in that company pissed me off like pretty much the whole time. And then now, after he loses his belt, you don't give him an immediate rematch. You trade him to another company, and it really bothers me, man. Because like this, if this had been, I think anybody else, immediate rematch. But for some reason, he has like Dana White has this problem with Mighty Mouse. I think I don't know what it is. I don't know what I don't know if Mighty Mouse banged his wife or whatever. I don't know what happened, but it really bothers me, and I don't know. And then the trade, and then you trade for Ben Askren, who's one of the most boring fighters in the world. Not saying he's not good. Ben Askren is a very good fighter, but the guy is boring. And
But people could make that same argument for one of the best of all time, George St. Pierre. So, I mean, boring.
But you don't see them trading George St. Pierre, though.
They're not going to George St. Pierre.
You say it was boring.
A lot of people think he is boring because he takes people down a lot. I didn't say he's boring. I'm saying that's a lot of people who.
Yeah, the people have the same. They have that same thought about GSP, but they're not going to trade GSP. But Mighty Mouse, you trade him, and then the whole time he was there, you don't really market him. I'm kind of happy for Mighty Mouse that he's out of that company and he can actually go somewhere and actually, you know, flourish, but. His whole tenure there at the UFC has really pissed me off, and all right, I'm done. What else you got, man?
I don't know, man. For me, I definitely wanted to see a rematch between him and Cejudo, especially considering DJ already beat him once.
Right, but trilogy, bam, easy.
I most definitely wanted to see a rematch. That being said, to be honest, I'm really not angry about him going to 1FC because to me. Like you said, I mean, he never really got the shine that maybe he should have got. So I feel like him going to a promotion like this and is going to be the big fish in that pond off the rip. Like, him going there is going to immediately put him number one contender. If not, he's going to be up there. So, to me, I like that because I do agree that he deserves more clout than what he's gotten. That being said, I'm also really interested to see what Ben Askren's going to do because it's no secret. I mean, as far as wrestlers go, Ben Askren is arguably one of the best wrestlers in MMA. And to have him come over and fight in that weight division, you know, I mean, there's so many exciting fights.
Wait, what division is he in?
170.
170, okay.
So by him doing that, that opens a lot of big fights. I mean, obviously it's going to be a tough thing to kind of make the Tyron Woodley fight happen because they're teammates. But, I mean, you've got Askren and GSP. You've got Askren and, you know, that 170 weight class has got a lot of people. So there's a lot of cool matchups there. And everybody that is like a diehard as far as MMA, I think, has always wanted to see Ben Askren there. So, I mean, I think that everybody's wanted to see how he would fare against the people in the UFC.
I mean.
But, I mean.
I guess. I mean, it's nothing against Ben Askren, but he's kind of boring. I mean, he is.
He's still one of the best in the world, though, and that's brings the intrigue to
true.
It. And that's an unarguable fact. I'm not saying that he's somebody that I love to watch fight. I'm just saying I like the idea of him coming to UFC just to see how he stacks up against the rest of the 170 division. And while we're on the UFC, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on the rumors that after DC fights Derek Lewis, rumor is he's headed to the Performance Center for a tryout to be a commentator for UFC or for WWE because Fox would like him to be commentator.
They're from what I've heard going into the deal next year, Fox wants to make WWE SmackDown a flagship viewing show.
Exactly.
And present it as a
big
fight feel. So having him come in, being that he's a personality, I think it's a great move.
That's why they said they wanted to try DC out at that, because him being a fight commentator, they think it would bring kind of like a Mauro Ranallo feel, kind of.
Mm-hmm. More power to him, man. I know DC's a big wrestling fan, and he's got a fight down the line set up basically for him and Brock Lesnar.
Imagine him commentating with Booker T.
Good Lord. That would be pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
I thought about that. I'm like, oh, I would love to hear those two just go off script. And just have Renee try to keep them on topic. That would be funny just to see her face turning red.
Well, Renee would, I mean.
So here's a quick question about that. So when SmackDown goes to Fox, are they going to keep Corey Graves on both shows?
God, I hope not.
Why?
He's annoying as shit.
Corey Graves is really good at his job.
He's good, but I hate his voice now. His voice just wears on you.
But he only needs to be on one show.
He needs to only be on one show.
Right, if SmackDown is truly going to a different network, and they're definitely going to have a different feel, I think they need their own commentary team. Someone, and hopefully it's DC and, you know, Vic Joseph, yeah, and whoever else they want to put on that team.
I heard they're probably going to be doing pre and post show stuff too, also
right.
Before SmackDown, which I actually like. Yeah,
on like FS1 or something.
I
like
also
that.
Hope that if they're really trying to revamp SmackDown the way that they're billing it to be, I wasn't going to say that necessarily, but I definitely think they need to have a different. Like stage and things.
They need to have that for years.
In my opinion, man, I've said that for a long time. Like, I liked the difference in. I think they need to go back to the red and blue ropes. I think you need to go and have the, you know, different stages. I feel like it really separates the two shows.
It's never make that fist break through the glass.
I'm not mad at that either.
It's boring when you watch a Raw and then you watch a SmackDown and then you watch a pay per view. And if it's not one of the big five, it's the same set. With the same like little screens on, right, and it has no feel to it. That's why
I just wonder.
Evolution kind of felt different because it had a difference. I honestly, when the match started, when the pay per view started, I expected to see that same regular default set they use, and I was actually surprised when I saw something different.
I agree. I like that for sure, and I don't know, man. I understand they're trying to do cost cutting, but to me, man, that was something I always liked as a kid, like the different stages and things like that. But I mean, I know that's got to cost an arm and a nut.
The thing is, they have like a two warehouses full of all the old sets. They keep that shit. Like if they wanted to, they could break out the old school Raw's War set right now if they were doing like a small arena. They could break that out right now. They just keep that. I don't know if they're saving it to scrap the metal one day or something, but they have
if
all that.
If things get really,
shit.
Really bad, just start scrapping.
They
the
have
metal.
All that. I mean, they could break out the throwback. I actually was expecting it for SmackDown 1000, having the old school, you know, set with the fist. It would have been appropriate, but it. For
but
some
it's
reason,
not Raw, so they don't get special treatment like that.
Agreed.
Well, since you brought up Evolution, what
wait,
are you?
Wait, hold up. Before we completely go into wrestling, let's run through UFC 230 real quick.
Okay.
All right. Really, the only fight on here that really matter is Jacare Souza versus Chris Weidman, which
I like that fight,
which is probably going to be like a number one contender type fight, and then Cormier versus Derek Lewis.
That's actually one I really want to see. And
yeah, we had a fight drop off. I think Luke Rockhold got hurt, so I had a fight. Change, and I think there was supposed to be a women's championship fight on here too, but that got pushed back. But really, the fight everybody wants to see on here is Derek Lewis versus Daniel Cormier. Hopefully, we can find some way to keep Derek Lewis's balls nice and cool this time. But
all right, pick them.
The balls.
That wasn't where I was going, but we know where your mind's at.
Mr. Kent, well, before we make the pick, what you said you're actually looking forward to this, man. Why are you actually looking forward to it for the person that's not necessarily the biggest MMA fan?
I kind of want this to be like a older, like old school, like a Rampage Jackson fight, if that kind of makes sense. Like kind of like a, not a slugfest, but
it's not going to be a slugfest.
They're going to go all over. And that's what I want to see. I want a boring fight. And I don't think I'm going to get that. So that if I watch this one, I think you
might be in for really? Exactly what you think you're not. Yeah,
I wouldn't say a boring fight, but
I'll get to that when I talk about who I think's going to win and things. You tell us who you think's going to win and why and how.
Jesus Christ, what is this report?
When, where, why, how, what?
Got it. You got to do all your descriptive.
I want to see DC win this because. As a lay fan, he's got my attention.
Okay, and how does he win?
I say decision.
Okay. Me? for entertainment purposes, I want Derek Lewis to win. I just want to hear him do post-fight interviews.
Now my balls is hot and I got the title.
Yeah, man, I forgot Donald Trump called me to knock this Russian motherfucker out.
I want to come on your show, Joe, and smoke some weed with you.
But I think, and the weird thing is, he said it after that fight with, who the fuck was it? Volchek. He ain't got the gas tank, man. And for a heavyweight, Cormier's gas tank is full, man. He can go to full five rounds, man. So I think it's probably maybe second round TKO or submission for Cormier.
TKO.
He takes him down and you know, finishes him.
WrestleFox.
Yes, WrestleFuck 2018. Jeez, brought to you by Kyle Campbell.
Like, everybody I've heard talk about this fight is talking about how DC's got to stand up with Lewis. Okay.
Why would he?
I was just about to say, like, to me, man, if DC is smart, especially after the Anderson Silva fight, you throw enough punches to put him on his fucking back. Because if you stand up with him, unless you catch him really early, if you stand up with him, you're giving him the one chance to win that he really has. Because Derek Lewis is not going to out-wrestle DC. He's not probably going to submit DC. So your only real option at that point is to outstrike him. And DC knows that's what his game plan is. So if it were me personally, I think his best game plan is to take him down.
Say it.
Wrestle fuck him. And
yeah. So, wait, here's my question.
I think if he submits him, he's going to submit him in a third round.
I've seen quite a few Derek Lewis fights, especially him coming up through the local scene in Houston, I don't ever remember seeing him really wrestle. I don't ever really remember seeing him on the ground. So I don't know if he has a wrestling background at all or he just chooses not to use it. But, I mean, Cormier was an Olympic wrestler, man. He doesn't get much higher than that, man.
And that's the thing, man. Like, even if Derek Lewis does have wrestling game, I mean, let's be realistic. It's not going to be on the same level as DC.
Exactly.
And, I mean, like I said, DC's not stupid. I mean, if DC learned anything from that Anderson Silva fight, I don't think he's going to try to stand and bang with him. I just don't think that that's...
He's going to lay and bang and wrestle fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to me, man, I just don't see that. And I don't know. That's just where I'm at with it. I think DC's going to take him down, beat him up a little bit, then submit him.
Right. Only other fight on here that kind of catches my eye is Cesar Eubanks versus Roxanne Modafferi. Eubanks was supposed to fight for the flyweight championship, but I think she got injured like the day before the Ultimate Fighter final. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing her fight again. Roxanne Modafferi is a damn good fighter herself. Yep. So I'm looking forward
to the show. Tara LaRosa has fought her 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I think they had like a good
trilogy.
Yeah,
they had
too.
A trilogy.
Yeah. So, and shout out to Tara LaRosa. What's up? Yeah, other than that, that's about it.
I don't know, man. That fight to me, like, I'm all for somebody that's confident, but to me, Cesar Eubanks talks too much shit for somebody who just got the UFC, especially when she's about to fight somebody that's a legend the caliber of Roxanne Modafferi. Because if you're talking all that shit coming in there, you better back that shit up. Because if she beats you, you look like a fucking fool.
Well, I mean, she got the talking part now, and that's half... That's most
hey, and now don't
White,
mistake what I'm saying. I understand why people do it. I understand you're trying to hype the fight. All I'm saying is
you gotta back
it. You better back it up because if she beats you, then you just look stupid. And then if you talk shit in your next fight, people are like, remember what happened last time. So we'll see how it plays out come Saturday.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to – well, before we actually talk about Evolution, Mr. Campbell, we didn't get your thoughts – you weren't here last week. We want to get your thoughts on the whole Roman Reigns announcement that he has with Kimi, and basically your thoughts on that.
For the guy to have come back from that, even though it was 11 years ago, and to come back to be in peak physical human condition, I give all the respect in the world to Joseph Anoa'i. I'm praying for him. Have somebody else I know that's going through something serious right now is actually... the day before I found out about that, so both of those actually kind of hit me. His kind of hit me kind of in the feels where I didn't expect it to hit me. Mm-hmm. And have immense respect for him. All the shit I've talked about him for years never had anything to do with him or his work ethic. It was the gimmick
itself.
I never took anything away from him as a performer. I'm actually going to miss him because he actually is, as much as I don't like the character of Roman Reigns, I am used to seeing him every week, and he is polarizing to where, like him or hate him, you watch him when he's on the screen.
Right.
He's not somebody whose matches I turn off, whether it's to complain about the finish or complain how he's too over.
Right.
But I got used to watching his matches, so it is kind of a juxtaposition to now not have him for possibly a couple of years.
Yeah,
who knows? You know, so I hope he comes back. I hope he comes back healthy. I wish him all the best. It's thrown WWE into a complete flux. at least, I think they said 3 or 4 matches from what I've heard for next year's WrestleMania out the window. They moved up Dean's heel turn.
Braun Strowman is a babyface again.
Yeah, they've had to adjust. I mean, Braun's a babyface now. Elias is a babyface now. I mean, it's completely thrown the entire, you know, thing out of whack, which, you know, you might get something new and unexpected out of that. They may push somebody, you know, Finn Balor, that you didn't expect them to push out of nowhere, you know, now that you have a guy like that that's out of the company. It's shocking. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for him to have had that and come back from where. I mean, a lot of people could have just beat that and just had a nice job selling insurance. This guy played in the CFL, tried to play in the NFL, and has been doing this full time at the biggest level that anybody's done it. And I think he'll beat it. So I'm praying for him.
All righty. Let's go ahead and talk about this past weekend's Evolution pay-per-view, the first ever all-women's pay-per-view.
I was going to say a bad joke, but I don't want to say it.
I kind of want to hear it now.
The first pay-per-view where it's all bathrooms. All matches where you can go to the bathroom. I saw somebody make that joke, and I'm like,
I did too.
I'm sad that I laughed at that. But it was a couple on there, and I'm like, yeah, that's a go to the bathroom match. pay-per-view.
Well, let's start there, man. Like, first of all, the fact that they did an all women's pay-per-view
right before an all male pay-per-view.
I mean, it's not like the first time they had an all male pay-per-view, but matter of fact, Lillian Garcia said something. Like, she remembers, like, it was time when she was the only woman on the card and she was the ring announcer. You know
I remember those. I'm like, I don't think I saw any females tonight.
But for them, for the WWE to come this far from, like, not having women on the shows or just having bra and panty matches and women having the 2-minute matches, which was the bathroom break, mm-hmm. to putting together an all women's card, man.
And it was good.
And it was a damn good show, man. That's what I was going to say. What are your thoughts on, you know, the evolution of women's wrestling and your thoughts on the show altogether?
We'll start
with you, Mr. Collison.
I was pleasantly surprised by it. The only thing I was kind of bummed about is I really wanted to see, you know, Trish and Bliss, you know, one-on-one, and I really wanted to see Lita and Mickey one-on-one just because I just wanted to see how those played out, especially more so, I guess, with the Bliss match, because it really kind of to me felt like you had our generation's like Trish kind of deal versus Trish herself, especially knowing how much Alexa looked up to Trish. I just really kind of wanted to see how that match played out. That being said, man, like,
so I got to see one of the best Northern Lights suplexes in the business.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
Shout out to Elise Fox.
I mean, Lisa that being Fox. Said, though, I mean, you can't. Like, that match was still decent. A lot of the matches on there, I think Charlotte and Becky fucking killed it.
Honestly, and I knew they weren't. That should have been the main event.
I agree.
That match,
they fucking killed it, bro. They killed it.
And just two quick points to interrupt. I feel really nervous when I see Sasha taking that hit on the guardrail with her neck. And when I saw Charlotte take that powerbomb through the table, her neck, their necks made movements that were a little too unnatural. I got really scared when I saw that because they took some hard hits.
See, but that exactly is getting to the point I wanted to make, too. Like, you were talking about our thoughts on the evolution of women's wrestling.
Right.
Like, that in and of itself. Like, when you can watch a match like Becky and Charlotte put on, you can't look at it and say, oh, that was good for a woman's match. That was just fucking good.
That was good.
That was just fucking good.
That was
period.
Good wrestling.
That's in the running for a match of the year.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's,
you know,
in my top five.
People are so quick to want to shit on everything, but dude, it's getting to the point where, yeah, back in the day, I'll admit it, you could say it. Women's matches weren't good, and that's why people did the bathroom breaks and all that stuff. But I mean, nowadays, man, it's hard to argue the fact that when you, at least depending on who's in the match, but when you have these women's matches that are on the cards, right? 9 times out of 10, dude, there's a good chance it might be one of the better matches you had on the card.
Right. And part of the problem,
horsewomen you got on that, you got any one of those four horsewomen?
Dude, it was great. What? And then I want to talk about that, too. I'm glad that they're finally, you know, for as many of these fucking idiots that go on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, I said it. Fucking idiots that go on Instagram and Twitter that go, who's the fourth horsewoman? Like, you're really that fucking dumb that you can't put two and two together. Like, I see at least one of those comments on every picture that
hell don't you know?
Because I'm talking about the ones that'll comment on, like, a Jessamyn Duke's pictures or, you know, Marina Shafir or any of the other three. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, Ronda's really the big star. It's like, you fucking idiot. If you pay attention, they all, the other three are always in the front row for the other one's matches. Okay.
Right.
And to me, that's another match that was one of the better ones on the card was Shayna and Kairi Sane. I mean, every match they've had so far, I haven't had one that I didn't like on both sides, on Kairi's side or Shayna. Like, to me, man.
The finish of that, to me, was a beautiful wrestling finish because I was invested in the match. And then,
and now you firmly designated Shayna as a heel now. Not that she already wasn't, but to have the
in fact, she didn't need it.
Yeah, she didn't need it.
She didn't need it. She didn't need it. She didn't need it, and she has those
Now
two.
You have henchmen with you. And to me, man, I don't know if it's going to play out this way, but I'll say it right now, dude. I think with the way they did that at Evolution, I think by Survivor Series, or I would say maybe WrestleMania, I think you're going to see some kind of four horsewomen versus four horsewomen.
Bro, remember, it was last year's Survivor Series. They teased it.
And oh, yeah. And or at least, at the very least, I think you're going to get to a point where the four horsewomen, Ronda Rousey's four horsewomen, will all be together. And I could see them doing where, even though WWE's four horsewomen are all at each other's throats, I could see them all coming together to say, okay, we might have our issues, but we can't let these people come in here and run our shit.
Well, last time I checked, Bayley and Sasha are scissoring each other, and that's stupid. Bayley and Charlotte are good, and Bayley and Becky are good. The only two that have beef now are Becky and Charlotte, pretty much.
And we do get the tease of the whole four horsemen versus four horsemen facing each other at Survivor Series, because Becky's going to be going against Ronda Rousey in the champion versus champion match. So,
I know we'll talk about that.
And what did you think? What did you guys think of all the people that they brought back? Do you think they brought back enough? Did you like the ones they brought back?
Alundra Blaze, man, time undefeated. fucking defeated, man. Like,
you were on a roll today.
No, I'm saying, watch that match, and she's
and look, I'm yeah.
Look, dude, I can't talk shit about Alundra Blaze, dude. She's a fucking legend.
But no, but she's on the fucking hard cam side. Like, take that shit over to the other side. Like, whoo.
I can't hate
it's Evolution.
It's probably been a while since she's been in the ring, man. But I was glad to see her out there, man.
Shout out to Ivory, too. She's like 57 years old.
And she did pretty damn good and was in there a long time.
57 years old,
how about
man.
A
nice dance crazy. Break.
Yeah, and how about, you know, Zelina Vega finally getting some shine,
my
bro?
My future baby mama right there.
You know, ooh-wee. You know, like, it was good to see some other people get some shine. You know, good that Nia has finally been pushed back to
boo.
What?
Boo. I hated that.
I just want the match, man. I want the match.
I think
her versus Tamina. That's the match we've all been waiting for with Nia Jax. Her versus Tamina.
I want to see her and Rousey go at it again, but actually run that shit without Alexa jumping in this time too. So
that's what pissed me off, because I'm like, you can either have two things about a Royal when you have a quote unquote giant. You know, she's the biggest one in the ring. You either have everybody gang up on them and get them out first, or they dominate. And I'm like, all right, well, she dominated. That's good. But she didn't need that Battle Royal win. Of anybody in there, I don't think she needed that. She's already one of the top six women in the entire company that they push.
So I disagree.
She didn't need that. I think somebody else could have used that Battle Royal win, because what did it build up?
I think, if anything, dude, it's a good way to get her back in people's minds as the killer.
Have a squash match on Raw like she always
Maybe
did.
So, but I mean, to have her do that, it pushes her right back to the title picture, which I think is well deserved. I mean, yeah, are there other people who could have used the win? Sure, but it's a great way. And Ember Moon had a great showing too, though.
That's the most they've let her do since they brought her up. Think about it. She hasn't had anything to do since they brought her up.
I don't know, man. Just to me,
that breaks
I'm
my
not,
heart.
I'm not. I would like to see Ember Moon
she
do more.
Won
but
it. Ember versus Ronda.
I'm not saying I don't want to see that. I'm just saying I think that Nia needs to be back in the title picture.
When she wants to actually come to work.
Dude, people got personal lives, dog.
We all step that shit up and go to work, don't we?
So,
somebody put some Gatorade in that ginger ale today.
Let's go ahead and talk about the Ronda and Nikki Bella match, man. Mr. Campbell. Oh, yeah? There you go. I enjoyed it, man. I thought it was a good match. I didn't think it should have been the main event, but it was a really good match, man. Ronda has definitely come a long way in a short period of time. Nikki did a great job helping, you know. Nikki kind of guided that match in a way.
You can tell.
But it kind of quiets those criticisms of Nikki Bella that she can't, you know, wrestle. And, you know, excuse me, they always said, you know, Brie was the better, you know, Bella wrestler, mm-hmm. but Nikki did a very good job in that match. They got the job done, man. So it really was no complaints from me. But still shouldn't have been a main event.
You want to go or you want me to go?
I'll go. I mean, to me, man, I would totally agree with your opinion on Nikki. Like, to me, man, I feel like she gets a bad rap a lot of times because of the TV show and all that shit.
John Cena shit.
I mean, let's be honest. They built that match pretty damn good, too. Like,
yeah,
you had people looking like, damn, okay. Like, you know, and then, like, to actually let them show some, I don't even know what the word is, but, like, show some anger when they were beating, when they jumped Ronda. Mm-hmm. Like, they whooped her ass pretty good for a minute, too. It wasn't, like, a good.
Ronda takes, I'll say this, she's learned the business quick, and she's got a knack for just at the last second protecting herself to where it looks real, because that second headbutt into the ring post,
yeah,
she got her hand up there at the last second to protect herself, because I had to rule. I'm like, Jesus, did she really just hit herself?
Yeah, I thought she got hit for real.
I
shout
like
out
it.
The past guest of the show, Angie Sanders, although I can't answer your phone call, but...
I'll say this, and I've said this before on the original podcast, is what we were used to be doing when we first started this. About that time, it was Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. WWE has now gotten into a good knack of building a good big match feel, because to me, the energy coming into that match reminded me a little bit of Brock and Goldberg, to where it was just electricity in the air and it was palpable. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. I kind of miss the Bellas, because they at least do what they do good. And I was honestly surprised at how much I liked Nikki in that match also. Right. I knew Ronda was going to win. I knew Ronda was going to look strong. I knew Ronda was going to dominate. But Nikki did a good job selling, and she did a good job guiding that match, like you said, because she could have just... She could have phoned it in if she wanted to.
Right.
But I'm actually kind of waiting to see what her next feud is going to be now. I kind of want to see her in the ring, because I'm like, okay, now have you turned that, have you become the new John Cena, to where you can actually now use your position to put people over?
Right.
Or are you just going to be going back to the reality show, or are you going to come back and then just bury your next three feuds? So I'm actually kind of waiting to see what they do with her, but I actually enjoyed that match more than I thought I would.
Well, let's go ahead and put a button on Evolution. I'll say this one last thing. Toni Storm won the Mae Young Classic.
Her match should have been longer.
I agree. It was a damn good match. I didn't think she was going to win. I thought EO was going to walk away with it, but shout out to Toni Storm. But I have this one problem with WWE in general.
One?
Well, in this case. And I understand, and I was listening to Taz's show earlier today, and he brought up the same thing. And I'm glad he said it, because I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. And I know WWE is not doing this on purpose, but after the match, when you got Triple H and Sarah D'Amato and all of them in there, like, hugging everybody and, you know, holding their arms up, and it's like... It kind of bothers me a little bit. Yeah. I understand what they're doing, but it's like, it's almost like you're treating them like little kids.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you don't see that at the other male pay-per-views.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know why that bothers me, because like, now it's like, okay, these two just had a badass match, and now it's like, yay, participation awards for everybody. And it's like, no. Like,
and then trips to come out to it, just, I'm like, yeah, you spearheaded this. I mean, I know as much credit you want to give to your wife, but this, we all know it's you.
Right.
We ain't need to see you there. You already at the pay-per-views for the NXT doing it and stuff. We get it. These are your girls. You signed them.
Right.
But I need to see him right there at the last moment right there. Even though he wasn't trying to be front and center so much, I need to see you right there.
But it seems like every time like someone wins one of these, it's like they're surprised to win it. Like, no, you're supposed to expect to win these things sometimes. Like, Shayna Baszler, I think, is one of the best people at doing that. Like, after the match, she's like, I knew I was going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I prepared for this. I know what I'm doing. But, like, for Toni Storm and EO just be hugging each other and crying like that, and I'm not saying that, you know, showing emotion is a bad thing, but it's like, at some point you got to actually
Asuka at WrestleMania.
Yeah, at some point it's like, no, I won. I expected this, and like, I don't need the whole, you know, pageantry and all the, you know, hug fest afterwards, man.
Okay, so I've got two thoughts on that. One being
real quick, because we gotta get the crown jewel.
Two thoughts on that. One being, you know, to play devil's advocate, you know, you said that he doesn't do that as much for guy stuff, but if you remember when they did the Cruiserweight Classic, they did the same deal. Not maybe with flowers, but it's men we're talking about. So, like, you know, they did that for the Cruiserweight Classic. I mean, who knows what the hell they're about to do for the whole World Cup thing. And if you remember
World Cup.
If you remember, I mean, when Braun Strowman won the greatest Royal Rumble last year, or was that
earlier this year?
Yeah, my bad. Don't mind me. I just got off work. Anyway, yeah, when he won, they did like the big thing with the belt and the trophy. And
I wonder why.
I'm just saying they do that kind of stuff with do guys as well.
But it doesn't feel like.
Yeah, but these are all this, first though. They're all first though.
Yeah, but after a while, it's like.
And you got to remember, we're in the middle of the Me Too movement, bro. So they're trying to plug the shit.
But see, that's kind of the problem, though. It's like, if we're in the middle of the Me Too movement, it's a women's evolution, but yet you're treating them like little kids. Like, you either want to be. Yay, good. Hey.
No, I do understand.
Or you want to be.
You didn't fall on your face and fail. Like, no, give them.
Well, I get that point. Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, a lot of that, I think, has to do with that all these things are first. But that being said, I mean, I have to give WWE a whole hell of a lot of credit on that, though, because I do think that what they're doing with all this stuff for the women is only further pushing, you know, equality, dude.
I agree.
Which, in reality.
But we talked about it with Angie Jennings, and I don't know, you probably stepped out at that time, but I asked her the question that, what's the real sign of progress? The fact that you keep having these firsts, or it gets to the point where it's not even acknowledged that it's a first anymore, or it's happening. It's just a part of
it's you know, the new norm.
Yeah, and that's the point. You know, we got to get to. It's like, okay, yeah, it's a first. It's a first. It's a first. But after a while, you just got to treat them like superstars. You got to treat them like you wouldn't do this on every single first thing that a man. Match has, so we got to get
no,
to that point.
And I understand that, and I get your point. Like I said, I just think a lot of that right now has to do with, I mean, like you said, I mean, a lot of these things are unprecedented. And the things
my
that,
last thought, too.
You know, and a lot of these things are unprecedented. And on top of that, like, with it being where women's wrestling is at now, I mean, they didn't never even contemplate shit like this.
Right.
So, like.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, so. Although I. Although, I mean, I totally get your point, but I do believe that there's a little bit of merit as to why they're doing it. But I do agree at some point it needs to get to a point where it's like, this is just the norm.
All right, last word. Did we got to get the crowd.
Sad they didn't announce a women's tag team division.
It's coming.
That's what she said.
All right, let's talk about this World Cup with
Wouldn't that be what he said, though?
No.
Let's talk about this World Cup with only one person not from America in it. at Crown Jewel this weekend.
How fucking hard is that? You have nothing but diversity. You have the most
Finn Balor,
diverse roster.
Sheamus.
Shinsuke
Cesaro,
Nakamura.
Shinsuke.
Rusev. Cesaro.
But no, all we get is Rey Mysterio. And technically, he's from San Diego.
Exactly. like he's representing his country. He's an American-born citizen. He has the area code where he was born tattooed on him. And it's an American area code.
Real quick, your guys' thoughts on the World Cup. You got to make it quick.
Fucking joke.
Mr. Collison.
I definitely think there should have been more diversity in it, for sure.
Well, regardless, I just hope they have a big hug fest at the end of it and, you know, treat everybody like little kids. yeah, I'm not really it.
How hard was that?
Wait, can I just say this? Like,
what the fuck?
Uh-oh.
Fuck you, WWE app.
Oh, yeah.
They spoiled it.
Yeah, that's why I took those damn notifications
fucking
off.
Bastards.
Does it have anything to do with the main event?
Very much so.
It's a title match?
Very much so. Oh, okay. Let's just say Daniel Bryan isn't in the main event anymore.
Oh, everybody knew that shit.
John Cena's out. Maybe so, but they've now announced who it's going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say who it was.
It's going to be Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Samoa Joe versus AJ
Styles. I'm not mad at it, but I mean.
But we're going to see it for the fourth time now? Fifth time?
Look, dude, those matches have all been good.
Better than Nakamura's matches, but still. It's funny how they can have the best thing that they can do almost in wrestling. We have AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe in WWE, and they still fuck it up.
Can I just say that I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm starting to get tired
don't say
of AJ
it. Don't say
as a champion?
How dare you? Bite your tongue.
I mean,
who would you rather have? Jinder?
Joe?
Shinsuke?
Joe Nakamura?
I'm gonna remember. Hey, guess who's our United States champion?
Oh yeah, Nakamura. I forgot about that guy.
Exactly.
But that was the booking though. They had him wrestle like 5 times in a row, and Nakamura lost all of them.
Can't
except
you
for, like,
agree
one that, didn't matter.
That until his heel turn, and even since his heel turn, I mean, Shinsuke hasn't gotten over the way that we all thought he was going to. A and B, when he did turn heel, it was going great. But let's face it. I mean, like he just said. He's been U.S. champion, and it's not like
he's the new Kalisto.
But how often?
Remember when Kalisto was the United States champion? Nobody gave a shit. Wasn't even on pay per view.
But is that really 100% Nakamura's fault, or is it how they booked him?
Part of it is though,
because you got to remember, like after that, they had him in a feud with Jeff Hardy. But nope, that didn't really matter because they really just wanted to get to Matt Hardy versus Randy Orton. So
you
Nakamura
mean
was just
Hardy
like a
versus
like a,
Randy Orton.
Well, you know, yeah. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. Like, Nakamura was just in the background.
No,
just to
and
set that
I,
up.
You know
agree,
what it is?
But, I mean,
it's actually going back further. It's the whole Jinder thing. That Jinder feud ruined Nakamura. For one, you kept putting a mic in front of him. This is not his first language. You needed a manager or something for him.
I don't know that you needed a manager, but I think he never should have been somebody that should have been more than. Like,
kick ass,
I'm gonna
leave.
Fuck you up.
Kick ass, yeah. Leave. I mean, he's like, literally from the same ilk of Brock Lesnar. Let him come in, kick ass, walk out. That's all you need to do.
I think it's on both of them. I don't necessarily like the creative, but dude, Nakamura's had part to do with it.
You're cracking your knuckles.
I was cracking my knuckles.
That's disgusting.
Oh, I thought he looked over like you farted or something.
Well, technically, cracking your knuckles is a knuckle fart. You're releasing gas from the
exactly.
joints.
It's good for you. Not good for your arthritis, but still.
Hell, I'm going to be fucked in my neck and my hands with arthritis, so.
Yeah, never mind.
so that's his name.
So let's talk about the return of Shawn Michaels, DX versus
like
the Brothers of Destruction.
I fucking like it. All of you people that are all fucking salty because they're from the Attitude Era, fuck you. My inner kid is loving the fact that A, HBK is going to wrestle again, B, that DX is coming back, and I don't get tired of seeing Undertaker and Kane. So anybody that wants to bitch about it saying that they're taking spots from somebody.
Wait, don't say it. We got two words. Fuck it. You fucked it up. God damn it. That's the whole.
Suck it.
The moment's gone.
Are you ready?
Ooh, wait. No, that's not it. That was the Mark Henry sexual chocolate intro.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't have Mark Henry on
this.
We've
got my thoughts about it. What about you two?
I love it. I mean, you said everything I said. I mean, I grew up in the Attitude Era, so I get Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker. Yes, please. I don't need any more. I don't care that that two of them look like grandpas and two of them look like dads on their way to be grandpas.
Look, bro,
but
HBK,
I don't care. It's HB fucking K, my all time favorite wrestler. It's him.
Can we
and
get
HBK
a wig though? Can we get him a wig like Kane?
I'm not gonna lie. The bald HBK is kind of hard for me to watch.
It makes me realize my own mortality.
But that being said, though, I mean, people want to shit on it so bad. But, dude, HBK can still fucking go.
It's
Triple H can still
K.
go. Kane can still go. Hey. And even though Undertaker can't go quite what he used to, I mean, it's still the Undertaker.
Right. I have to see in this match, and they're probably going to do it because Trips can book a good match now. You need a good 3-4 minutes. I just need HBK and Taker. Like they did with what was it 2010 Royal Rumble where they set it up for the last match where they just it was just them in the Royal Rumble and it was basically the Age of Ultron of their feud. The one that's in there, it's kind of good. Nobody ever talks about it.
Right,
is right there. I need that, and I need that stare down. Like, Kane gets knocked out, Triple H gets knocked out the ring, hot tags, they both turn around, and they just look at each other. That crowd is going to be shit anyway.
Final question for both of you on this one, man. I have to ask, like, I was listening to Sam Roberts the other day, and he kind of hit my sentiments exactly with how I feel about this show. A lot of people are shitting on the fact that they're doing, like, Greatest Royal Rumble.
I'm not watching it.
All this kind of shit.
I'll probably be watching
like,
it. I probably will catch, like, the highlights.
To me, man,
I'll be at work.
I like seeing the big shows like that. Even if I can't watch them live, like, to me, being a lifelong wrestling fan, dude, the idea that they're having, like, a big show like that, and you're able to watch it, and even
oh
if
no,
it
that's
in the
cool.
Week,
I'm just against it for them going to Saudi Arabia and taking damn near, I gonna say, oil money. I'm against that before everything that's come out recently.
That part I totally can understand. I'm just saying.
Every time they talk about Crown Jewel, the crowd starts booing, man. So
no, and I understand. I understand that part, and I understand why they're booing, and especially with what happened to that reporter, I get it. I'm just saying, purely in a sense of it being like a big show feel like that. I'm sorry. I feel it's wasted.
On that crowd, that crowd is not going to be hot.
The problem is that they're throwing these shows in out of nowhere, mm-hmm. almost. I think that's the problem.
Well,
When was the Super Show? That was what, last month?
Yeah, it's like a
month. That was Australia.
But I'm saying that came out of nowhere. Shut up, Randy. That came out of nowhere.
But, I mean, think about it, though. I mean, they did build it, though, when you think about it, because you brought DX back. They've been going back and forth on Raw. So, I mean, there's been build
no,
to it.
It's just.
Wait. All right. Think back to WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year, right? But then, like, what, 2-3 weeks later, you had
Greatest
Royal Rumble out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and it was probably bigger, and, you know, they probably put more into that than they did WrestleMania. That's kind of the problem.
The go-home Raw was a setup for Greatest Royal Rumble, not Evolution.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Well, you mean Crown Jewel, but...
Crown Jewel.
But, yeah, I mean, that being said, man, like, I totally can understand that point, and I definitely think that there needs to be... I think it would be better if they did it in a sense of, like, that's going to be, like, the big show for the month. Like, I can understand that. But at the same time, you got to understand with them, you know, getting paid the sort of money they're getting paid to do that shit, it is what it is.
I'll still be watching it.
Off on Friday, so it gives me something to do.
I actually heard a rumor they may only make maybe, like, $3-4 million from the show. They're not
probably going to spend all the money on traveling.
They're not making that much, but it's just because they have a long-term 10-year deal.
Well, right. They've already been paid $20 million, bro.
In advance for the
exactly, so I mean they've already made money.
All right, so Crown Jewel's coming up.
I ain't
watching.
I'll be watching it.
I'm off Monday and Tuesday, so I might catch a little bit of it. But yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this thing going up, man.
Wrap it up, B.
Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw your shout outs out there and throw your social medias out there, sir.
Safe sex jokes. Don't hear those too much.
You know, shout out to BCWA for having us again.
Yes, sir.
You know, be there November 17th. We're going to have, you know, Sienna, Allison Kay,
yes,
Detroit's own in the building. Pinkies
yes,
up. And also shout out again to Phi Delta Epsilon and one of my kids, you know, Blake, it was great to see you, man. You know, thank you for having us. You know, check them out, check their stuff out. They're doing a lot of good things in the medical field, man. Check them out. And thanks for having me. And, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Team Chaos. That's TEAMKAYOS. Find my other show, DCTV Multiverse. You can find it on everyonewhocares.com or Apple, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast at. You can find it, DCTV Multiverse, going over the full multiverse of the Arrowverse and news and comic books and weekly stuff like that.
All righty. And make sure you check out my other podcast, All Stink, No Sizzle. I'll be... giving my final update on my Sober October adventures.
And then next week about how you woke up in the hospital.
Or the phone call that we're going to get, holy God, I'm never drinking again.
I joke so much my beard fell off.
I had alcohol poisoning. I'm in the hospital.
Hey, don't you be wishing that on me, Devin.
I didn't say I wished it on you. I just said.
If you can get alcohol poisoning, Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll tag.
You gave him an open bar, bro.
I got an open bar, man.
My birthday, he got two of the giant-ass taps.
Them shits was impressive.
You know, I was going to say something, but I'm going to leave that alone. I'll tell you guys off there. But we'll tag your podcast, Kyle, and mine in the Knockouts and Three Counts page, too, so you can find it a little bit easier. Make sure you check out All Stink, No Sizzle. If you need a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. If you go on there and you say, hey, I like that Ford Festiva. There you go. Random car. wait, that's what you got, isn't it?
That's an old ass car.
Wait, no, don't you got a Ford Festiva?
He's got a
son. I drive a Chevy Spark.
You have a Spark, that's what it is. Okay. Similar body style. Okay. Ford Festiva. You go to Southfield Quality Cars, say, hey, I want that Ford Festiva. Use the reference code 19309. You'll receive $500 off on that Ford Festiva. Once again, it's $500 off by using the reference code 19309. Oh, I took my headphones off.
Me too. That's why I took them off. make sure
you check out the Reality Era news page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. Oh, follow me on all my social media. I'm on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can follow me on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. That's one word. Any last words, people?
All the haters, fuck your couch. And Randy told Tony to fuck his couch.
I probably fucked one of your mothers.
Coming up soon, our audio from BCWA Tag. You're at part one.
Also,
will be out soon.
Our interview with Congo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs.
Once we figure out how to get it from the mobile rig.
Yeah. That too.
That too.
No, I got you.
Fuck your couch.
All that being said, thank you all for listening. Till next time. Peace.
And I'm out this beast.